Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Senator John Cornyn and Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, they introduced today the Stopping and Excluding Chinese Ripoffs and Exports of the United States Trade Secrets Act of 2021. This would amend the Tariff Act of 1930, basically to make companies, give them the ability to say, hey, we've been ripped off, block the Chinese imports from coming in because they were built with our secrets. Not new. If you remember back in 2016, the Obama administration, Obama signed the Defend Trade Secrets Act so that you could then go and sue civilly. I think this takes it to the next level and says, you know what? No more suing civilly. We're just blocking it. Now, again, devil in the details, haven't gotten all of it. But I'll tell you what I have seen thus far, I'm not against. At some point, you've got to stop rewarding the people who are stealing from you. You cannot allow the people to reward from the crime. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the big stories of the day around our Chinese competitors and what our government is doing to help, well, make sure that we're at least on a level playing field. I've asked our good friend Scott Paul to come talk with us. Scott is the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, AmericanManufacturing.org, their website. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey Rick, it is great to be with you.
So I'm looking at this piece of legislation drops today. On just the cursory look at it without getting in the fine tooth comb out and going through it, this sounds like a step somewhere near the right direction.
Yeah. First of all, the problem is real. I mean, this happens. The Chinese government, its military, its agents, steal trade secrets, pass them along to state-owned enterprises, Chinese companies. And so many working people are probably listening. Well, so what? Those big corporations, they deserve it. What's in it for me?
I'm one of those. Yeah, you went to China, yeah. You got ripped off, you got what you deserved.
That's right.
This is different for me. This one is different for me because I actually know people who they didn't go to China and they still got ripped off.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. And the answer is jobs. And I'll give you an example that is Pennsylvania based. And this happened a few years ago. The Justice Department filed charges against specific Chinese military officers for stealing trade secrets from United States Steel Corporation, from the United Steelworkers, their basically trade policy strategy, for Allegheny Technologies, Westinghouse, a solar company. And obviously, those Chinese military officers will never be brought to justice. They're not coming to the United States to face charges in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But this tool that the senators have suggested is a way to push back on this. And the only thing I will say about this, because I think this is good, is that we need to have the same amount of assertiveness and support for issues that also directly impact workers as well. And that's like labor rights and environmental standards. But this is a step in the right direction of putting stronger tools in the toolbox to push back against these unfair trade practices, because we know it doesn't work. Dialogue, I wish, did work, because I love dialogue. I love reconciliation. Simply hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. And we now know that. And then others will say, well, why don't we try to work this out through a legal means, through the World Trade Organization? Well, that takes forever, and China can appeal it, and nothing will end up ever happening under those auspices. So this is a good alternative. It's not the ultimate thing that you want to have happen, but given all the sets of circumstances are out there, all the options, it's just about the best thing that we can do to try to level the playing field.
No, I'm right there with you. You know, I don't want to go down this path, but at some point, which is why during the former guy's administration, I was up front and for the tariffs that he put on things, because at some point you got to stop the cheating. And this you know, again, I got to know what the details are, but from the first stories I'm seeing, I'm in favor of it because we've got to protect some of our industries. You know, I remember a couple years ago, this is going back probably 10 years ago, maybe even 12 years ago, there was a guy who his parents, grandparents, you know, came up with the Navy chair. It was just an aluminum chair, real lightweight, heavy duty, made it here in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. There's a Chinese knockoff for about a quarter of the price, and it's nowhere near built as well. It's just a cheap knockoff. But it basically, from what I understand, almost put them out of business because they couldn't compete because they stole the design. It's the exact, you look at them, they're the exact same chair. You pick them up a little difference, but it, you know, one's $200, one's $35. How do you compete with that?
Yeah, you can't. And this is a pervasive problem. There are folks who look out to see what, like, some popular things on Etsy are, you know, which is kind of the maker site. And they get knocked off in a hurry and put on Alibaba or on Amazon. And it extends much more broadly so that China is basically all the research and development that our companies do. You know, and this was the issue with Westinghouse and U.S. Steel, because U.S. Steel doesn't do business in China. They never have. They never will. But, you know, they were trying to get U.S. Steel's, you know, plans, metallurgy, all the stuff that they couldn't figure out on their own. You know, they just wanted to swipe it and skip 10 steps and save a lot of money and try to do it that way. And that is, you know, in any field of work, that is not okay. You can't do it. And so I do think that it makes sense to push back and to do it on this front and workers' rights and the environmental pollution and other unfair trade practices as well.
Yeah, no, you brought up the steel industry. I mean, it was just a couple of years ago. And look, I give Trump credit for helping, you know, save our steel industry. The tariffs helped. We've got to continue that if we're going to produce steel. Obviously, the steel that we need if we're going to have any kind of infrastructure bill passed, if we're going to do any investment in the future for, you know, solar panels or cell towers or anything, we need to have a domestic steel industry. But when you're competing with a country like China, who, you know, basically just owns the steel companies, it's really difficult to do. Talk a little bit about, you know, this Section 232 action that's been done, and it's been successful, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's been successful to a point. There still needs to be more to the strategy, but the wrong thing to do would be to repeal these tariffs just because the Europeans want us to do that. That would be the wrong thing to do. And the way that it's worked, and the problem, just to set it up, you mentioned China. China makes over half the world's steel. It also has a bunch of steel mills that churn out steel that there's no market for. So what happens when there's too much product? The price comes down. And they don't care. Those companies don't care because they're funded by the government. They have perpetual funding from the Chinese government. Our companies do care because it doesn't make sense to make steel if you're losing money on every ton of steel that's out there, which was the case for many years for the American steel industry. So you saw steel mills shut down. You saw layoffs. You saw lots of stuff like that. So, yes, the tariffs happened because China was not taking action to reduce its overcapacity. They did shrink imports coming into the United States. The steel companies have added jobs. They've added several thousand jobs. They've invested $15 billion in their facilities here. I mean, some of that has been uneven, but it's been mostly positive, I would say. And the Europeans are upset because the tariffs also apply to their steel. But they act like they're angelic in all of this. But the fact of the matter is there are 40 unfair trade orders against European steel right now on dumping or subsidies. And Europe, and I'm just going to say this, Europe is not – obviously no one's going to try to deal with China the way Donald Trump did, because he was right about identifying a problem. He was really wrong about a strategic approach. But Biden also has identified China as a real problem, has a much more strategic approach. He's trying to bring Europe along with him on this, and it's very slow going. I mean, they agreed to some language at the G7 and with the EU, but in particular are reluctant to be very tough on China. And again, this isn't about the Chinese people. This isn't about letting China have its rightful place in the world. But this is about stopping trade cheating, basically. And it's something that we got to do. And so those tariffs do have to stay in place. Otherwise, the harm that we saw the steel industry that's occurred decade after decade will continue to happen in the United States. And it's getting back on its feet. It's poised for greatness. We have an infrastructure plan that will hopefully get passed. We want to rebuild America. We can do that with American steel if those tariffs are.
I'm right there with you. We absolutely need it. But on the infrastructure front, are you confident we're going to get something? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm watching the game unfold. I'm watching the Republicans. We've got a bipartisan deal. There are five of us. I still want to know who the other five are who are going to make this, get us to the 60 number. And that's even if the Democrats all come along, because there are some Democrats who are saying, well, we're not going along with this this bipartisan deal because it cuts out all the other things that we need. My fear at the end of the road of this is we get nothing because we keep trying to hold each other's hands. We keep trying to find the elusive bipartisanship that we know isn't going to be there, because at the end of the day, the Republicans have shown us they're never coming along.
Right. Yeah, I'm optimistic that we will get an infrastructure investment. I don't know that it will be as sizable as what Joe Biden has suggested. I hope that it is, or that the House of Representatives is working on right now. I hope that it is at least that much. But I do think that we'll get something. I mean, there is kind of a hard deadline for this, because the programs that fund roads and bridges need to be reauthorized by the end of the fiscal year. So basically, I think by September 30th, you know, October the 1st. And so I do think that we'll see more action as the summer unfolds and as we get into fall here. And here's the other thing. I mean, these programs were popular. I mean, they're popular. People want to see good broadband. They want to see clean water. They do want to see roads and bridges that are not only repaired but modernized and can help deliver people safely to and from work and wherever they're going, and goods as well. And the many other forms of infrastructure that are out there. And so I do think that we will see it. I don't know that I can predict the path there. I think it's too early.
Right.
But I do think that this deadline that we're going to have as we approach October the 1st is going to help push forward some progress on this.
Yeah, my fear October 1st is, you know, getting us right into the winter season where nothing is going to get rolled out.
Yeah.
And we will have lost this entire construction season where we could have really used some things to get done now. That's my problem in how this has all been done. Now, you may remember back in January, President Biden came out with the executive order to buy more American products. Yesterday, I believe, OMB came out with their how they're going to implement the executive order that makes sure our federal government, their procurement is of buying more American-made products. I'm curious your thoughts of how this is going to roll out. And do you think that, obviously, you think it's going to be good for us? How much do you think it's going to be good for us?
Yeah. So, and just so your listeners understand, this is about government purchases. This is the government both buying stuff directly and also giving money in grant forms to state and localities to buy stuff, like infrastructure is a good example there. And so it's not about you or me or the purchases that we make, but it is about the purchases the federal government makes, and about directly, and also when they're granting money out, those purchases as well. And so, you know, we have these laws. There's lots of loopholes in them. We've talked about that. Celeste Drake, who I know is a good friend of the Rick Smith Show and of you and of me, is the point person at OMB on this. And so this is kind of the first visible step that Celeste has taken to move this process forward. And I think it's very important, because it used to be the case for this Buy America that a contractor or someone just had to say, you know what, I can't find that. And then they would get written a waiver in perpetuity. So they never had to look for it in America again. You know, it would just get waived. And so there's going to be a review of that, which I think is very good. And the ultimate goal, and Joe Biden repeats this time after time after time, to my delight and to my surprise, is that he is going to insist that the agencies abide by this. And so I think this is a good first step. There's been a lot of engagement with the domestic industry, domestic workers on this, and I am hopeful. And this is basically about, again, leveling the playing field and making sure that there's equal power between the producers of the materials that are going to rebuild America and also go into government purchases versus the contractors who look to make a big margin off of this stuff, buying the supplies and then selling them to the federal government. And so I think this restores some balance, and it will help create jobs in the United States. So I'm excited as this is rolling out.
Right, ultimately,
now. Very, very positive step.
Ultimately, it comes back to the jobs. And, you know, last week I saw the trade ambassador, you know, basically saying, look, you know, all those jobs we lost, those are real people jobs. It's part of the reason that we're in the mess that we're in politically. We need those jobs back. We need people. And this is an argument I've been making for years. When people have the ability to support their families, keep a roof over their heads, a lot of this division, a lot of this anger goes away because we've got hope and opportunity. I'm glad to hear the trade ambassador say that's important. We need that stuff back.
Yeah, and this was just shocking to me because I just, you know, we've experienced decades of trade policy where labor was sidelined. And so Katherine Tai, the United States trade ambassador, does a town hall meeting with labor, with Rich Trumka and with real workers across the country to hear their concerns about trade policy, both now and what's happened over the last couple of decades. And instead of lecturing them and saying, you got it all wrong, or those jobs are never coming back, she empathized and she agreed and she understood. And even among Democratic administrations, we have never had that before. And so I think we still got a lot of policy work to do. But I think the change in attitude is really, really extraordinary. And I commend the Biden administration for it.
Yeah, this is a much different. This is the departure from the Clintons and the Obamas who just said, no, we just need more educated workers. You know, those stupid jobs are gone. You need to get smarter. Kind of blaming the victim. Again, I'm with you 100%. But Scott, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. Always great stuff. Thanks so much.
All right, Rick. Have a great one. Thanks so much for having me on.
Anytime. Our good friend Scott Paul. Make sure you check out their website, AmericanManufacturing.org. We'll get links out on how you can take a look at that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.